Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Thank you, Father. We give you praise, we give you glory. We declare from the depth of our hearts how much we love you. And we ascribe glory to you because there is none like you. Tonight we have gathered to worship and to give you praise because you deserve it all. We say thank you for all you have been doing. And we thank you for what you will yet do. We are persuaded that even tonight you will manifest yourself mightily. Take all the praise. Take all the glory. In Jesus' precious name. I know you are here. And the choir, help me now. You are here in your power. I know you are here. Precious Holy Spirit. I know. God. This is my first night, and though usually I would like to look at the theme of a conference so we are sure everybody understands what God wants to do. Because the theme is supposed to be a prophetic encapsulation of the agenda of God and the purpose for which He gathers His people. So every time I have the opportunity to minister to God's people, I try to look into the theme as that is the embodiment of God's emphasis for the people and for the territory for that people. Glory to God. So we are looking at a very sensitive subject, rediscovering your identity in God. One of the major crises of most people is the crisis of identity. And so this evening, I trust that the Lord will help recalibrate us by the power of His Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. By the time I'm done with that tonight, tomorrow I'll go a bit further into matters that order of revival and release. Glory to God. Because you are in a territory where you need to manifest God in His fullness. Christianity in the North is not stories. Christianity in the North is practicality of the move of God. And so you need to understand how to stay on fire and how to manifest your dominion in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. And so tomorrow we'll look into that, as that also is the basis for which we'll be able to fulfill God's purpose and God's mandate for our lives. Psalm 49, verse 20. We'll begin from there. You can touch the keyboard for me. Just play some floating sound so that as we have ministry, the point can come where we want. He said, a man in honor that knoweth not is like a beast, or the beast of the field that perishes. A man in honor that knoweth not is like the beast of the field that perishes. It is not about the position you occupy in life. It's about your understanding of who you are. That's what makes the difference in your existence. You can occupy the highest position in life and yet not reign in life. Men do not reign because they are kings. Men reign because they know who they are. When you read the Bible, you'll find out that certain kings were enthroned, but it took many years before the Bible said they began to reign. So reigning in life and enthronement are two different things. And so this scripture begins to introduce us into a concept that we must pay very detailed attention to if our lives will be consequential. It is possible for a man to be in honor, and yet the outcome of his life is like a beast that is in the field. He said, a man in honor that knoweth not. So there's no challenge about his position. There's no contention about his position. He is comfortably seated where he is. But right there in the place of
like a fallen prince
if he does not know.
They know not, neither will they understand. This is to give you an idea of the supreme position of identity. I can tell you today, one of the major attacks of Satan on your life is around your identity. When Satan came to Adam, he didn't need to fight his authority. It was clear that God gave him authority over the earth. In Genesis 1 verse 28, the Bible said, and God blessed them. And God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion over the birds of the air, over the fish of the sea, and over everything that creepeth upon the face of the earth. So the man had jurisdictional authority over the air, over the water, and over the sea. So the question of authority was not in contention. Every being on earth was aware, but the man didn't know who he was. And so when the devil came, the devil told him, did God say you should not eat of the tree that is in the midst of the garden? He said, God knows that when you eat it, you will become like God. So the man was going to eat that tree to become like God. That means all the while, he didn't know who he was. This was the man who exercised authority over the earth realm. He named all the animals that were on earth. Do you know what it takes to name the animals? You know, when I meditated on that scripture, please sit down, man of God. I'm trying to establish foundation. That's why I'm taking it gradually. I want everybody to follow me. Because when it becomes volatile, it may become difficult. But at least, understand the basics of what I'm sharing. You know, when I meditate, only the animals in the sea are beyond number. How did he interact with them? Let alone the ones in the sky. Let alone the ones on earth. If you study the species of spiders alone, you will be amazed how many they are. How did he go about naming all the animals? I realized naming animals were a function of two things. Number one, wisdom. And number two, authority. Because you can be able to name the animals, but you may not be able to meet all of them. And you may be able to meet all of them, and you may not be able to name them. So the man had divine frequency. He had divine wisdom, and he had divine authority. Because we saw that when God wanted all the animals to be saved, the animals on their own came to Noah's ark. So it was not the man going to look for the animals. By his authority, he summoned all the creatures of the earth, and they came to him. So he sat in one location and named all of them. That's the level of authority he had, and that's the level of wisdom he had. But the man didn't know who he was. And so Satan looked at him and said, who is this creature that God has given so much authority? He even had the right to define creation. This is supposed to be the prerogative of God. How can God give a man authority over another creation? What kind of being has God created? And when they studied the man, they knew that there was only one error that that man could make. He said, if you eat this tree, you will become like God. But the question is, what was he like? In Genesis 1:26, before God created him, he said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion. The man was created like God. But Satan knew he was the only one who didn't know that he was like God. And so his lack of identity was what made him lose everything. Can I tell you something? You can be called any title and suffer and waste in life. You can be given any position, yet suffer and waste in life. In fact, there are people who pursue titles because they don't know who they are. They think when they are given more titles, they will become relevant. But those who know who they are, they know it is not the title that makes them. They are the ones that give relevance to the title. I know you are here. You are here in your power. I know you are here. Precious Holy Spirit. I know. Yeah. walk with God, God was gracious to lead me to certain mentors that established the foundation of God in my life. One of them is Brother Billy Akani. He taught me the way of righteousness and the way of holiness. Another one is of blessed memory, Dr. Miles Monroe. Miles Monroe taught us the way of the kingdom and the authority of a believer as far as kingdom is concerned. And there were so many people like that. I met people like Bishop David Oyedepo, and he taught me the way of faith. Pastor Chris Uakilome taught me about the anointing and our identity in Christ. I met Andrew Womack, he taught me about eternal life. And so there were certain foundations that were laid in my early life and early walk with God. And when Miles Monroe was teaching us, he told us every individual on earth has five questions he must answer. He said the first question is the question of who am I? He said the second question is the question of why am I here? He said the third question is the question of where am I going? And he listed five of those questions. He said if you can answer those questions, he said your life will have meaning. But tonight we are zeroing in on one. Who am I? If you don't know who you are, even serving God will be a burden. You will come to church, you will fight for positions, and no one will be enough for you. In fact, when somebody else gets a position, you can be envious of that person and begin to compete. You will disqualify yourself in God's service because you don't know who you are. The reason there is so much competition in the body of Christ today is because identity has not been resolved. This is why you see somebody manifest the grace of God. Instead of celebrating God for putting that thing on that person, you are envious because you don't know who you are. See, that somebody else's candle is bright does not mean yours is dark. Everybody can manifest if we know who we are. See, somebody can prophesy excellently and it will mean nothing to you. You will only thank God for him. You will show up and do the one God has given to you and you will be satisfied, because at the end of the day, it's not what you do that counts. It's what God told you to do that you have done that counts. And what God tells you to do will be consistent with your identity. The crisis of identity. We need to travel on a journey of rediscovering who we are. And there are three things that must be put in place if we will travel and rediscover our identity. Number one, we must understand how we were created. If we don't know how we were created, we will not know the class that we were brought into when we were created. That's why I began with Psalm 49 verse 20. We must understand the protocol for our creation so that we know the class that we were brought into. Because every creation has a class. There is the animal class, is the realm of creation. There is the angelic class, is the realm of creation. And there is the God class. If you don't understand how you were created, you will not know the class you were created into. I always make this humorous example when I come for meetings like this. When the flyer was published, it was not written anywhere that only humans should attend. When this meeting was published, it was published for every creature to see it and participate. But there are no dogs here. You know why? Because they are not in our class. And participate in our realm. Even if dogs saw this flyer, they will trample on it and walk past. They cannot relate at that level because they were created to function in a class. Now, one of the abominations on the earth is that people change classes that they were created to operate in. He said, I have seen an abomination on the face of the earth. He said, princes are trekking while beggars are riding on horses. You were created in the God class, but most people who are created to function in the class of God are functioning as servants. The reason is because they don't know their identity. And so if you will rediscover your identity, you must go back to the cradle of reality and find out, when I was created, to what class was I placed? Because the class in which you were placed is what determines what God installed on your inside. The installations you have are designed for you to function in a particular order. And so if you don't know the order you were created in, you can't even know what was put on your inside. Number two, if we will rediscover our identity, we must recognize and appreciate the transformative work of Christ on our inside. Because at some point in our lives, after we were created, we fell. And when we fell, we adopted a new identity. The identity we have now is a product of the identity that Christ gave to us. Because we lost what we were given in creation. We have taken up a new order. Because when Christ came, he restored something that was lost. So you must know how you were created, and then know what happened when you fell, and then know who you are now that Christ has come. And so that you accept what you are in Christ. If you don't do that, you will never know who you are. And then when you have found who you are in Christ, you must now align with God's agenda. These are the three things that defines your identity. Your creation order, your position in Christ, and your position in the agenda of God. If you don't find these three things, you will never have an identity. And I tell you, nothing on earth can give you an identity. Not the government of your nation, not even your biological parents, not the circumstances you are going through. If your parents are prophetic, they can peep into part of what God has designed for you. But the totality of what God has given to you is the function of your walk with the Holy Spirit. If you don't find it, nobody can find it for you. So you must know, how was I created in the first place? Listen, there is no way you can train a baboon to function like a man. Because his nature will betray him. His creation order will betray him. No matter how a parrot speaks, there is no way a parrot can become an orator and make cognitive sense as touching matters of purpose. A parrot can hear things and recite it. As intelligent as the parrot is, his nature will betray him. The reason a parrot or a baboon, no matter how hardworking they are, cannot operate where we operate is because creation did not give them that level of clearance. And so if you will know who you are, you must understand the order where you were created from. If you don't know your order, something else will give you an identity. And there are many things. God blind Bartimaeus. It was not written anywhere in his ordination that was his identity. But the circumstance he was going through insisted and put that identity on him. So circumstances can give you an identity. And that's not all. Even the territory where you are can give you an identity. He was called Judas Iscariot. He came from a location, and that location followed him. Because every location has a culture. And if a location gives you an identity, the culture of that location will define your life. Works of Christ, and you must understand your place in God's agenda. Tonight, I will show you very quickly and in very simple terms these three realities to help you understand your identity in God. Genesis 1, verse 26. Let's look at the order of our creation. It said, God said, let us make man in our own image. There were many images on earth, but God chose himself. There were princes in heaven. There were archangels. There were principalities. There were dominions. There were thrones. God could have created us after any of them. But God decided to give us an identity that can only be found in him. The reason understanding your creation order is important is because one thing it will reveal to you is that you are a photocopy. The original of you is your designer. You were created to mirror God. That means you can never know who you are until you know who God is. Everything God is who you are. It said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. And he said, let them have dominion. So if they are functioning like me, dominion will be a byproduct. And when you read the whole of that scripture, you will discover that everything the man had in the garden was not his own. It belonged to God. Number one, the man's nature was not his nature. Let's make man in our own image. That image speaks of God's nature. Number two, the man's character was not his character. It was God's character in our own likeness. Number three, let them have dominion. That authority was not the man's authority. It was God's authority. Number four, the place where God put him was called Eden. It's the atmosphere of God's presence. That means the man's environment was not his environment. It was God's environment. And finally, God planted the tree of life, Genesis 2:9, in the midst of the garden for the man to eat. That means the life the man had was not his own. So if you want to know who that man is, who to study is not the man, is God. The man is an extension of the original copy. It's just like you bring a document to an office and it's a photocopy. When they want to verify the authenticity of that document, they won't look at the photocopy. They will tell you where is the original. That means if you want to know who man is, you will look at God, not man. Because the identity of the man was superimposed on him from God. This is what God was talking about. He said, ye are gods, because you are the children of the Most High. So he gave you the reason why. The word children there is not talking about biological offspring. It's talking about the one that proceeds from God. You are the offsprings of God. He said, because you are my offspring, you carry my DNA. So what I am is what you are. So I am God, but you are flesh hosting God. So you can find yourself when you find me. If you now understand it, the way you live your life becomes different. That means anything God does, I can do. That's the impact of identity. That means anything God is, I am an extension of. So nothing can define you anymore. This is why you can be on a job and somebody looks at you and says, you, this common cleaner, get up. You say, no, I am cleaning here, but I'm not a cleaner. I carry the DNA of God. Somebody can look at you and say, where is this gate man? Come here. I am not a gate man. I am watching the gate, but I am more than a gate man. Divinity is on my inside. So your occupation no longer defines you. Your creation order is what defines you. Your territory no longer defines you. Your creation order is what defines you. The Bible says God breathed into his nostrils, and the man became a living soul. So we became. We were actually not created. We came out of. The reason it was called creation is because the raw material for making us was nowhere on earth. Creation means bringing into existence what was not in existence. So when we talk about creation, it's not like we were literally made. We were not made. There's no material for making us. When God gathered the dust together, the Bible said God blew into it and the man became. So we actually came from within God. We are an uncreated reality put in dust so that we can become creation. Ideally, the substance for making us came from within God.
So when you tear a man open, what you will find is divinity. You see why people like us cannot believe that anything can destroy us. You see why people like us cannot believe that any circumstance can pull us down. Because when you open me, you will find divinity. I am God's address. God hides inside me. God tabernacles inside me. God dwells inside me. That was a technology that never existed before. When you look at the angels, their glory is on them. Why? They were made from precious jewels. So you look at some angels, they are like jasper. You look at some angels, they are like sapphire. You look at some angels, they are like coals of fire. You look at some angels, they are like light. But when you look at the man, flesh is what you will see. You can't see what makes him. Because if you see it, you will see God. That's why God decided to hide it. So that you don't make the mistake of thinking there are many gods. He hid his essence inside the man. So that when you find a man who knows himself, he will manifest God. He said, I have said, ye are God. And I didn't just declare it. I said so because you are the children of the Most High. Have you given birth to a child and he has another DNA? What's the proof that your child is your child? DNA. If they can't find your cells in that child is not your own. They should go and look for the father. But the reason you are called a child of God is because his DNA is here. And if his DNA is here, anything that cannot happen to him cannot happen to you. Anything he can do, you can do. This was God manifesting the greatest form of love by extending his ability into created beings. So that when we see men, we don't see men, we see God. You know the proof that you have found your identity? Is that something about God will be revealed through your life. Finding your identity is not about introduction. Finding your identity is about manifestation. When we see you, what of God is in you? Paul said, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Finding your identity is not about title. You can be called president. You can be called chairman. You can be called bishop. You can be called apostle. You can be called governor. You can be called prophet. But you don't know who you are. The moment you know who you are, God will show up from within you. The testimony that you have found yourself is that divinity will exude out of you. He said, I have said, ye are God. You know when Jesus came, in John chapter 10 verse 34, he said, it is written, ye are God, and you are the children of the Most High. He said, if you say you are God, unto whom the word of the Lord came, and the scriptures cannot be broken. He said, why do you say I blaspheme when I say I'm the Son of God? So Jesus was using our identity to justify his own identity. He said, if the Bible says you are the children of God, why are you now saying I blaspheme when I also say I'm the child of God? And Jesus went further to say, if you don't believe me for saying it, how about my works? So the proof that you have found yourself is your works. God wants you to manifest him. That's why the Bible said, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. But the idea is not about the title. The idea is about the manifestation. It said you were called to showcase, to manifest, to express the virtues of God. If you are sitting in this meeting, and all they know about you is that you are Onyinye, or you are Martha, or you are Michael, or you are Peter, you don't know who you are. If you are seated in this meeting, and all you came here with is I am bank manager, I'm a lecturer in a university, you don't know who you are. If you are seated in this meeting, and all you came here with is I'm prophet, I'm an apostle, you don't know who you are. When we call you forth, bring something of God that has not been seen. It is the demonstration of God that shows that you have known who you are. Paul said, when I came unto you, I did not come with excellency of speech, declaring unto you the counsel of God. He said, I came in the demonstration of the spirit and power. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill that cannot be hid. The world needs wisdom. We are supposed to be the containers of divine wisdom. The world needs answers. We are supposed to be the answers. But the question is, do we know who we are? And so today, both the church and the believer is hoping that somebody will find the cure to some diseases. And all of us are hoping. Now, I respect medicine. I support medical science. But if the church is at the mercy of a doctor who is either an atheist or a godless man in a laboratory, for us to have health, it means we are falling. But unfortunately, that's where we are. We are waiting for somebody to find the cure to HIV. We are waiting for somebody to find the cure to COVID. And if a scientist does not find it, if they tell you you have AIDS, all of us will start praying for you to have enough goodness to go to heaven. And when we even come, we encourage you. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of the saint. If you go, you will not perish. What a shame. We depend on the world to bring answers that we should bring from within God. When Jesus was on earth, everything that met him, he gave the answer. When he sent them to the institution, he sent them for confirmation. When you were a leper and you came to him, he cleansed you and he sent you, said, go, let them prove that you are cleansed. If you were confused and you met him, there was sufficient wisdom for direction. Why is it so? He knows who he was. Every time they met Jesus, he knew his identity. There was no mincing word about it. In John 10:30, he said, I and the Father are one. John, Philip asked him, show us the Father, and it suffices us. John 14:9, he said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. There was never a mistake about his identity. He knew who he was. He knew, even though the whole world didn't know him, the whole world didn't receive him, he knew who he was. The Bible said in John 1:10, he came unto his own received him not. He came into the world, although the world was made by him, the world knew him not. It didn't stop him from declaring who he was. Every time he had the opportunity, he declared who he was. In John 8:54 to 58, there was a debate about who he was. And he said, Abraham, your father saw my day, and he rejoiced in it. And they said, come on, you are not yet 50 years old. How do you claim that you have seen Abraham? And he said, before Abraham was, I am. I am. I am. What is he saying? I am that I am. I'm the one standing here. He knew who he was. In Luke 4:18-19, he went to the synagogue and read what they thought was Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. When he finished reading, they thought he would close the book. And he closed the book and kept it and said, today, this scripture you have read is no longer a prophecy. You have seen it. I am the one Isaiah spoke about. I know who I am. This is who Isaiah spoke of. There was no clash in identity. It was clear. But the question is, who are you? Everybody who made impact knew who they were. They came to John in John 1:33. Who are you? They even elevated him. Are you one of the prophets? If you were the one, you say, ah, these people think I'm Elijah. These people think I'm like Abraham. You say, well, by the mercy of God, I am. He said, no. Are you Isaiah? No. Are you Elijah? No. Who are you? Give us a report. He said, I'm the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Prepare a way for the Lord. I know. There's no argument about it. I know who I am. Now, this guy did not have an office. This guy did not have a position. This guy did not have money. He was in the wilderness, dressed in camel skin, eating wild locusts. That's what you will call a poor man. But he was shaking the whole nation. The Bible said the whole of Jerusalem and Judea went to him. Everybody was seeking him out. When Jesus came, Jesus said he was a burning and a shining light. All the wealthy people, he never spoke about them. But a man who was in the wilderness, Jesus called him the light of a generation. And Jesus speaking, he said, of all men that lived before John, there was none greater than him. If you were to give an assessment, you would think John was a waste. He didn't even have enough money to have a church building in city center. He was beside the wilderness.
But he was the one Jesus recommended. When Jesus' ministry was to be validated, Jesus went to John. He said, John, say, I am a prophet. Who do you call him? And the Bible said the Pharisees were afraid. If they argue about what John said, they will stone them. Because the people knew that he was a prophet. That was the level of authority that John had. But it all tied to what? I am the voice. He knew who he was in God. Have you gone back to understand that God created you in his own image? Do you know that it's not the mirror that defines you? There are many people who are depressed today because when they look at the mirror, they don't like their cheek. They don't like their hair. They don't like their body shape. You are beyond your container. There are many people who are so intimidated because of what they look like. If I was a little taller. Oh, if I had a bigger chest. Oh, if my eyelashes were more straight. Oh, you are more than an eyelash. You are more than height. You are more than body part. Your whole body cannot define you. You are what is on your inside. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You must define yourself from where God defines you. Otherwise, when Christ is come, you will crumble. I'm telling you, when the heat of life comes, it's your identity that rises up to challenge it. And if you don't know who you are in God, you can't survive. You were created in his image. You were created in his likeness. Satan knew. That was why his attack was on our image. Did God say? Did God say? Because what God caused you is the most powerful thing about you. Did God say, let's tilt it. Let's bend it. Let's compromise it. And the man didn't know. He thought the devil wanted to help him. See, if you leave this conference, you need to tell yourself, it's not a position that defines me. It's not a certificate that defines me. Listen, study hard. I have a PhD, but I know my destiny is bigger than paper. It's not a certificate that defines you. I'm telling you, when you leave this place, it's not a position in a company that defines you. All of those things are platform to express destiny. You are what God said you are. And when he created you, he said he created you in his image and in his likeness. When you stand up from your house and you are going out, tell yourself, people will see another dimension of God today. I come to manifest God. I come to reveal God. I come to express God. I am divinity in motion. God lives on my inside. God dwells on my inside. God hides on my inside. My duty in existing is to manifest it. I'm a container. God is inside here. When I talk, God, you hear God. When I show up, you see God. When I move, God moves. God dwells here. This is why your life will become consequential. And that's what the devil attacked. And so, Paul was speaking in Romans 3:23. He said, for all have sinned and falling short of the glory of God. The moment they went the way of rebellion, they fell. That means the man was created to live in glory. So before he fell, he was actually a creature of glory. For all have sinned and fallen short from the glory of God. You were created to live in glory. So when I show up, God's glory really show up. I didn't know that God created me not to live in a building, but to live in the glory. When I come out, it's glory that exudes. I don't need to struggle. Glory is my environment. So the fall was actually an attempt to pull me down from glory. So I live in the glory then. That means the glory is not just a cloud. The glory is who I am. That's why Paul said, man is the glory of God. He was created to carry God. He was created to manifest God. But this is what men have not been taught to understand. That you are not just a man of man, but you are a man of God. Because you came from God. The DNA of God is in you. This is why, even those of you who don't know, once in a while, you carry out God's feet. Because it's somewhere in your DNA. They ask you a question, you never read it before, but you gave the right answer. And even you are wondering, where did he come from? You need to take a step, and you say, something told me. Well, what is that something? There's no something anywhere. It's God inside you talking. So even those who don't know, once in a while, it manifests. But when you know, you become conscious about it. Oh, when I look at my son, he educates me. My son is like a small version of me. Sometimes he starts doing things that I do. And my wife says, look, see this thing that you used to do. And I'm asking, who taught him? That means that attitude is in my DNA. He inherited it. Power is in your DNA. That's what I'm saying. Glory is in your DNA. Wisdom is in your DNA. Victory is in your DNA. Dominion is in your DNA. Power, authority is in your DNA. The devil is afraid. The day we know is in trouble. Imagine how many of us are here. God gave the whole earth to one. Now we are 8 billion. Imagine if all of us know. Imagine how the earth would have been dominated. Adam had the capacity as one man to govern the whole earth. Now we are 8 billion people. Imagine what will happen if the 2.4 billion Christians know who they are. If only Adam, God could entrust earth to Adam. How much can 2.4 billion do? But now, many churches, many congregations, filled auditoriums of men who don't know who they are. And they think religious ritual will produce dominion. Dominion is not a function of rituals. He said, you were created in my image and my likeness, so have dominion. Dominion is a function of identity. You can carry out 1,000,001 rituals, yet have no dominion. But the day you know yourself, you will be wonder the things that your life will manifest. He said, you were carefully and wonderfully made. Isaiah said, I and the children the Lord has given to me, we are for signs and we are for wonders. This is what creation is about. To have men who can manifest God. Do you know that your hand is not for eating? Your hand is a signature of something in God in you. Do you know your mouth is not just for talking? Do you know your eyes are not just for seeing? You can see without eyes. Even the natural man who is blind sees. He can move around without eyes. And when you have the Holy Ghost is the lamp of your eyes, of your body. The eyes are beyond seeing. They represent something. Because when you study God, the right hand of God is power. The reason he gave you right hand is to show you that you are a creature of power. The eyes of God are for judgment. The reason he gave you eyes is to let you know that you are a ruler. The feet of God are for dominion. The reason he gave you two legs is to let you know that you are a creature of dominion. That's why I say wherever the soles of your feet shall step is yours. It's dominion. The hair of God is agelessness. So when you see his hair, he says it's as white as snow. He speaks about the ageless one. So you have hair to show you that you are an eternal creature. You can't die. What we call death is separation from God. If it's about cessation, nobody can die. We are all eternal creatures. Because our head proves that eternity dwells in us. So when you cross over, you live in another dimension. All that God gave you are representations of dimension. Creation is a mystery. You have hand not only to carry things, but to show that you are a being of power. You have eyes not only to see. Your eyes see, but your eyes prove to you that you can judge. You are a creature of authority. You have feet not only to walk. Ezekiel said, the hand of God was upon me and he carried me to the valley of dry bones. The spirit can move you. There are men who walk without legs. Your legs carry you from place to place, but the role of your leg is beyond movement. The role of your leg is for possession, territorial possession. Anywhere I enter is mine. That's why I have feet. My feet are a signature of takeover. So as I come to Kano now, I have a stake in Kano. I don't know about you who live in Kano, but I have a portion. So long as my feet enter this land, I have taken over. Creation is a mystery. It shows you who you are. See, next time when you look at your right hand, remember that you have power. Because the right hand of God is the hiding place of his power. The next time you look at your feet, know that you can never be a stranger. You can never be stranded. Anywhere you enter, stand there and say, I have come. I have taken over. The land, hear me. I eat the good of the land. I dominate this land. There's no such thing as, oh, this territory is hard. We can't take over. Not you. Your feet are a proof that you can take over. That's why the land does not walk on you. You walk on it. It's called dominion. You walk on it. When I started traveling, people told me, if you go to some places, it will be very difficult. I say, not me. So long as I march there, I've taken over. These legs are not just for walking. It's an instrument of dominion. It's an instrument of dominion. These legs, they are instruments of dominion. This hand is a proof that I'm a creature of power. Because that's how I was created. I was created to mirror God. I reveal God. When I talk, my voice is not just to communicate. I release spirit when I talk. Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit. They are life. When I talk, I'm not a lecturer. I'm a witness. I release life when I talk. I release spirit when I talk. Because I mirror God. Anything that God represents, that's who I am. I didn't negotiate it. He authored it that way. That I should become an extension of himself. This is what the devil saw and he was afraid. How can one being be walking around and he's a collocation of divine reality? We must attack this being. And they checked and discovered he didn't know who he was. And they used identity to overthrow him. And the Bible says, whoever you yield yourself servant to obey. It said, the servant of him you are, whom you have obeyed. The crisis of identity began after we fell. This is why you now think that a car makes you important. In the days of Adam, they didn't need anything like cars. Nothing validated him, only God did. This is why you think a position makes you important. It's an impact of the fall. This is why you think what you wear is what defines your essence. It's an impact of the fall. The man was not created to draw relevance from anything other than God. Only God gave him relevance. When the fall happened, the man began to draw relevance from things. And today you need to see how men fight for things. Men can kill their loved ones for cars. Men will die to be seen in certain positions. Some of us can't even enjoy the opportunities God gives us because of inferiority complex. A man enters a place, he can't enjoy it. He wants to snap pictures, let people know that he came there. And he loves the experience of that place. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with snapping, but anywhere you go to doesn't define you. I've gone to certain places in the world. Some, they say, can you snap and keep it? I say, well, if it's to tell my children stories, fine. But this place don't define me. The realm of God, I travel with it. It's more important than anywhere. It's more important. Do you know how you were created? When you showed up here, do you know God came? Do you know in your family, if you are seven, there are seven containers of God? How many demons can enter there? But we don't know. We don't know. So even our gathering does not mean much to us. Because the way spiritual power works is that it flows through consciousness. And because you don't know, it says we will fall like the princes. We will fall. And many are falling. But in this conference, many will rise. Many will rise. See, some of the things fighting you before you came here, by the time you go back, they will vanish. I'm telling you. See, the things we share, we are not sharing to educate you only. We are speaking into your dimensions. When you leave this conference, you'll be amazed that certain warfare will end. Because you would have rediscovered yourself. I am who God says I am. I am who God created me to be. And the God I serve, nothing can conquer him. I'm an extension of him. Nothing can conquer me. I'm not saying you are God, but I'm saying God lives in you. I'm saying you are God's container. I'm saying you carry God's DNA. And so anywhere you show up, God shows up. That's the first way to rediscover your identity. That you were created to mirror God. You cannot photocopy a document and that document has anything other than what is in the original.
The photocopy is an expression of the original. When God created us, He created us to mirror Him. See, when you read the Bible, it's not meant to be crammed. When you read the Bible, you are looking to manifest. That's why the Bible said in James 1:22 to 25, He said, those who behold the perfect law of liberty and turn away and forget it, He said, they will not receive anything. He said, but the man that beholds it and continues in it, He said, that's the man that will be blessed. So when I read the Bible and Jesus cast out devils by talking, when I talk, I know devils will be cast out. When I read the Bible and Jesus lays hands on the sick and the sick is healed, I know when I lay hands on the sick, they will be healed. Because Jesus came to teach us how to walk the God life. When Jesus says it is well and a sick person becomes well, I know it is well, it's not a cliche. When I say it is well, I know circumstances will change. There is a new consciousness. So I look at Christ to manifest. Because Christ came to show us the man God created. Because the man God created did not complete in Adam. That was why the last Adam needed to come. The first Adam's project was truncated. The last Adam came to show us what God had in mind. And so everything Christ is what we are. And that is why the finished works of Christ became important. Because the finished works of Christ is about removing the limitations that the error of Adam caused, so that we can come into the fullness of what Christ brought. So the project of Adam is what God continued in Christ. But He tried to remove the error of the first Adam that was a limitation. Because when Adam fell, we fell. And when we fell, we took up the identity of slaves. Now that Christ came and paid the price, He now makes us and gives us the liberty to come into that which Adam could not accomplish. So we are the new creations. Because the old creation was not completed. So Christ came to produce the new creation. The project of Eden is what continued at Calvary and at the resurrection. At Calvary, the error was removed. At the resurrection, the project was activated. And so everything that belongs to Christ, Christ left for you. When I preach, I tell people, do you know the anointing you have is not yours? There's nobody that has anointing anywhere in the world. All of us, the anointing we have is the anointing of Christ. The Bible said in Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus with what? Holy Ghost and power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, what were we anointed with? Holy Ghost and power. Not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power. Do you know the faith you have is not yours? The faith you have came to you when you heard the gospel. It was put in you. Romans 12 verse 3 says, God gave us the measure of faith. That means, my problem is not the mountain. My problem is knowing that I have what Jesus had that made Him move mountains. Because the faith I have is the faith of Christ. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, the life I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Romans 12:3 says, God dealt to you the measure of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13, He said, that same spirit, He said, having the same spirit of faith. What is that spirit? The faith that was in Christ. The faith that was in Peter. The faith that was in Paul. That's the faith that is in you. So what Paul can do, you can do. Because you have the same faith. The difference is understanding. You know, when Peter was writing, Peter said he was writing to the saints in Galatia, Cappadocia, Pontus. When he listened, he said, we have like precious faith. The same faith I have is the same faith that you have. The problem between you and I is understanding. That means if I can talk to the lame and they walk, you too can talk to the lame, they walk, if you know. So I realize that I don't have a faith problem. Anything Jesus could do, I could do, I can do. That's why I say when you meet a mountain, don't talk to God. What God has that makes Him move mountains, He has put in you. He said when you meet a mountain, talk to the mountain. The mountain has enough intelligence to obey you. Because what I have that makes me move mountains, I have put in you. My anointing is in you. My faith is in you. His life is in you. Do you know the life you have now is the life of Christ? The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He said that whoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have what? Everlasting life. You quoted that scripture for 20 years, but you don't know it. And life is not about breath. Life is everything that makes you walk in the reality of existence. So everything God has to offer, the channel through which he routes it is called life. And so when God says you have life, it means you have all of the wealth and the dimensions of God. You have it now. 1 John 5:11-13. He said, this is the record. He said, God has given us eternal life. He said, that life is in his Son. He said, whoever has the Son has life. He said, these things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That means you have the life. The problem is that you don't know. And when you have that life, death can't defeat you. No circumstance can defeat you. So when you fall, the Bible said the righteous man falls 7 times. He will rise again. He will never be defeated. Because what he carries does not know defeat. You are anointed. You carry the life of God. You have the faith of the Son of God. Are you aware? I'm telling you what defines your identity. The apostles knew this thing so much that they will tell you, as he is, so are we. You will think they will say in heaven. He said, no, not in heaven, in this world. We are like him here and now. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. That means if you see me, you see Jesus. So we don't only talk about Jesus when we preach. We manifest Jesus by our life. Somebody said, preach the gospel, if you must, with words. That means the words are the last way of preaching gospel. When there are sick people, if you show up, know that there's something in you that destroys sickness. Please know it. When people are confused, if you show up, know that answer is here. There's answer. It's a DNA thing. It's a DNA thing. So know how you were created. You were created in the God class. Know what Christ came to achieve in you. Christ came to make you like him. The whole idea behind death, burial, and resurrection will become a history class if it has no implication. The implication is that you become like him. Because through the resurrection, he gives you his faith. He gives you his anointing. He gives you his life. So that when you step out, nobody will know you after the flesh anymore. They will know you after the Christ. This is why I say Christ in you is the hope of glory. So I'm the glory the world is waiting for. When I show up, they see God. God is inside here. I manifest him. Identity. You are not what your circumstance called you. I know in your family, people are poor. And so it looks as if when they are talking about emancipation, your family is not part of it. Maybe you should read the Bible a little bit. When God wanted to extend the dynasty of Christ, he used the hand of God Rahab. Because your circumstances can't define you. When God wanted to ordain king, he went to the Benjamite tribe and picked from the family of a man called Kish, his son called Saul. From the least tribe. That means your family can't define you. If family defines people, some of us will not be here. I'm the first person who spoke in tongue in my family. I gathered my whole family together 1st of January. Some years ago, and led them to Christ. Somebody told me, before you make global impact, you must be a 5th generation preacher. And when I checked, I'm the first preacher. Does that mean it's my great-grandchildren that will make impact? Thank God for priesthood. There's an inheritance in priesthood. But I told myself, I already have more than 1 million generations. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they are my ancestors. I came from God. I have all that I need. I'm telling you, if you know this, sickness will be afraid of you. You think sickness does not have intelligence? You think so? How does pain respond to painkiller? You think sickness has no intelligence? There are biochemical and physiological processes that sickness is taking advantage of. When you carry your identity in God, your identity will reconstruct those processes. Something will come in you, it can't affect you. Jesus said, even if they drink any deadly thing, it shall by no means hurt them. He called it deadly. What is deadly? It means it can kill. But when it comes into you, your cells will refuse to respond to it. Something else has colonized us. Divinity has colonized us. Zoe has colonized us. We can't respond to this poison anymore.
its identity.
When you know your identity, your cells are educated. When I didn't know this truth, oh, there were many things I needed to do. I always felt I was insufficient. And God told me, are you not aware that when you come, I come? Are you not aware that when you talk, I talk? Are you not aware that when you stretch your hand, I stretch my hand? I am in you. You can't run out. I am the everlasting fountain. I am in you. He said, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. You don't exhaust. That possibility does not exist. Because I am your fountain. I flow from you. When you come, I come. There are times when your body will be tired. Rest. But even when you are tired, what is in you can't stop. It's an everlasting fountain. That's why Elisha died. His bones were raising the dead. The thing doesn't finish. God is here. Wisdom doesn't finish here. Power does not finish here. It keeps flowing. In the last 5 weeks, I've been to 7 nations. Very far apart. From London to Zambia to Nigeria to Australia to South Africa, back to London. It's not human energy. There's something that doesn't finish that is inside here. And when I show up, sometimes I sit down and I'm talking and I tell myself, it's time for power. And maybe as I just desire it, it starts happening. And I'm wondering, I say, Lord, I have not spoken. He said, even your thought is a voice. Because in my realm, you don't only talk when you use your mouth. In my realm, thought is also a voice. That's why God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. If you don't know this, sir, an apostle can pour a drum of oil on you, it won't amount to anything. He said, I say you are God. He said, they know not, so they fail. God created me in his class. The devil attacked the project. God came in Christ to restore me. So that now, when men see me, they see Christ. Jesus, the Bible said, when you saw him, you saw the Father. So when they see you, they can't see you. You are nowhere. When they see you, they see Christ. So the you that you present to your world is Christ. That's why when we show up, we define ourselves in the order of Christ. What the scripture says, that's who we are. I'm a new creation. I'm an ambassador of Christ. I'm a carrier of the anointing. I'm the light of the world. I'm a city set upon a hill that cannot be hid. That's who I am. Because what Christ is what he called me. The Bible called him the light. He called me the light. That's God's idea. Romans 8:29. It says, him that he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. I was conformed. I was conformed. Not to live like Michael Oroko, but to live like Christ. So when you trace Michael Oroko, it's a direction to finding Jesus. This is why a territory can't limit you. This is why people's evil desire can't limit you. See, there are many people who wish you die this week. In fact, they are waiting to hear the good news of your death. They are so wicked that your failure is good news to them. But they say the path of the just is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter unto the you saw yesterday is nothing compared to what tomorrow will bring. My path is a shining light. It's brighter and brighter. Oh, you opened one company, they are angry. You are about to open 5. It is who you are. It's DNA. They look at you. They say he's too young for what he's doing. They've not seen anything. This one is rehearsal. It's rehearsal. You see me with a cross. You are complaining. Very soon you see the dead rise.
You see 10,000 people gather around me, you are complaining. Very soon, all the meeting will be in stadia. And a point will come, no place can contain it. Because they're part of the just. And I am justified. And that is enough. See, this is where we live from. People gang up against you. They think they are big.
We will cross him. He will go nowhere.
Give him 2 weeks.
You just lied to your generation. You want them to call you a lying prophet. Because in that 2 weeks, something new will come out.
You know what?
He said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
So long as they are in the world,
they can't threaten you.
That's what it means.
Your boss can say you are finished. It's not given to him.
The only one that can threaten you is the one that is not in the world.
So long as you are in the world.
It is greater in he that is in you than he that is in the world.
So I tell you,
some people gang up.
Ask where were they? If they said they are in the world, say there's no need. It won't work.
Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
That's what Christ came to do.
He included me in God.
And he included God in me.
He made me a champion.
I tell my people, we are planet shakers. The world has not seen anything. He said, out of the mouth of babes talking,
he said, thou hast ordained strength. So even those among us who are babies, we make impact. And those who want to be angry, to get ready. Because they will be angry for a long time. They will be here manifesting every day, every week, every year. When our assignment is over, we will transfer it to our children as inheritance. We don't give our children cars. We give them dimensions.
Dimensions. So the things that I fasted to catch, they don't need to fast. I will impart it. The things that I studied to receive, I will impart it. So when they study, they will catch new things. My own is an addition. That's why it's called inheritance.
Did you not read about Isaac? Did you not read about Jacob? Jacob said, the scepter will not depart from Judah until Shiloh come. I have made you a king. If they like, they should do election. You will win. If they gang up, you will win. I have made kingship your destiny. The scepter will not depart from Judah. That's how we depart. When we finish, we transfer inheritance. And men carry it plus what God gives them. We are a wonder to our generation. Isaiah said, I and the children that the Lord has given to me. He said, we are for sign. We are for wonder. I am for sign. I am for wonder. I'm not an ordinary person. I'm a new creation. I came to manifest God. God no longer appears in cloud. Sinai is over. The last time he manifested in the cloud was the last. Now God manifests through me. When we show up, God show up. We carry his presence. We carry his anointing. We carry his light. We carry his faith. We carry his power. So we are more dangerous than a dark cloud. Mobile dimensions of beginning. He dwells there. See, when next they tell you, oh, there's a tumor. We don't know. Well, tell them the tumor will die. The cell has power to correct itself. Divinity is there. When next they tell you, from the way things are going, we don't know what it will be like. Tell them, not me. Even if the earth crumbles, we will be here. We are the source of the earth. So long as we are around, it means the earth is safe. We are not safe because the earth is safe. The earth is safe because we are here. We are the safety of the earth. They say we are the source of the earth. No matter the confusion, so long as we are here, there's hope. They say we are the light of the world. This is who you are. This is what the Lord has made you in Christ. When we gather like this, you know what we are called? We are called the body of Christ. You know what that means? Some of you are God's hand. Some are God's voice. Others are God's feet. That's why you see some people are so fast. Anything they do, there is speed. They represent the feet in the body of Christ. Others carry so much authority. Anything they say happens, they represent the hand of God. So as individuals, we carry God, and as a body, we are still the body of Christ. So it is divinity times two. It's a geometric quotient. Hallelujah. Hey. Hallelujah. The reason I came was because God wanted to be seen. And so he created me to host him and to express him. So I have no identity. My identity is tied to God's identity. When you find God, you find me. The Bible says your life is hid in Christ and Christ in God. The devil attacked it. I fell, but Christ came. Paid the price. Preservation. That means I'm not the one praying to be saved. I'm the safety of the earth. The last time I checked, he said, I'm the witness of Christ. That means I'm the proof that what God said is true. Because a witness makes it. The last time I checked, he said, I'm an ambassador of Christ. So everywhere I am is God's embassy. Even the devil knows he can't touch me. And if he makes the mistake in his rebellion to touch me, what will happen to him will take him backward for many years. Something occurred to you. Some of you were sick. It's from that sickness that the healing anointing came. Oh, you attacked my head. You are not afraid. And you prayed out something. From that day, anywhere you go to healing begins to happen. So the devil makes mistakes every time he attacks us. We carry the answer that the world is looking for. Can you lift your hands toward heaven? Tonight, I came just to stir your consciousness. Tomorrow, I will show you God's agenda and I will show you how to walk into this identity. I've not shown you the protocol. There's a protocol. The things I'm sharing with you tonight, there is something you do for it to become your consciousness. And from tomorrow morning, we will start looking into it. From tomorrow morning. But hear me. If you heard me this night, it's impossible for sickness to live in you. When Jesus walked on the earth, did you read once that he was sick? That means Satan can attack you. I'm not saying you will not be attacked, but you can fight it out. Because Jesus is the original specimen. We are the mass production. If he couldn't walk in Christ, he has no jurisdiction in me. Did you ever read that Jesus was stranded? He finished preaching. He went to pray. All the boats left. Even his disciples didn't wait. So even if your friends betray you, it's not a crisis. The Bible said he came walking on water. That means when there is boat, we use it. But if there's no boat, we can't be stranded. Did you read in your Bible that Jesus was begging? When there was no food, the Bible said he multiplied bread. He bought food when he needed to. But when there was no money to buy food and there was no food to buy, he was still not hungry. See, never find yourself in a situation where you say, I'm finished. Never find yourself in a situation where you say it is hopeless. When you get to that junction, look up and say, Father, what is the way forward? I am in him, he is in me. We are one. Lift your hands. There are two things that will happen now. Number one, God wants to impart certain dimensions to some of you now. See, the devil has perfected you so much that no matter what you hear, it won't be real to you until you manifest it. So before God brings you into it, he will do it through you to show you that you too carry something. There are some people here, death has ravaged your family. There are some people here, stagnation has almost dehumanized you. You have been in one spot for 20 years, working hard and smart, yet nothing is working. There's something that needs to come upon you to prove to you that the hand of God is on your life. Thank you, Father. When I'm done with that, then we'll deal with affliction, bodily affliction. I told you tomorrow is when we'll do revival. Tonight, I just want to show you who you are. Are you ready? Now, ask the Lord. I don't want you to think, oh, he's anointed. That's not why I came this time. When I saw the team, I know I have to come out and help you find yourself. If it was a miracle service, maybe I would have said it's my responsibility. But if you know who you are, you can demand anything now. If you say, I thank you, Father, that you always hear me. You are a son of God. Can you ask for a grace now that will turn your life around for the good? You don't need to shake. Don't do any drama. Just ask. The way you ask things politely, just ask. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Now, let me show you now the same way you have asked. I want to ask. There's no special atmosphere here, so it's not about atmosphere. It's about knowing who you are. Can you lift your hand? I want to ask God to anoint some of you now. From the place of understanding. There are things we do by atmosphere. There are things we do by the anointing. There are other things we do by who we are. Discovering who we are. I know when I ask, God will answer. And I will ask two things now. Number one, for God to anoint some of you. And number two, for God to heal the sick now. In the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Father, thank you. Here are children, sons and daughters of your kingdom, desiring you for a touch. Lord, I stand in the name of Jesus, and I ask that you specially anoint 14 of them here for a special assignment of the last day. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you touch them now. Usher, help me. If nobody's touched, I'll be surprised. We are not surprised because it happened. We are surprised if it doesn't happen. I'm asking as a son. Is it as many as received him? To them he gave the authority to become the sons of God. Holy Ghost, anoint men, anoint women for special assignments. Touch!
Bring them here. Please don't be distracted. This is your moment. Another type of meeting. This one is to help your consciousness so you know who you are and you know why you are the way you are, the way you are. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Before I pray for the sick, I want to ask God for the grace for speed. See, some of you have been in one spot for more than one decade, either because of the limitation of the territory, or because of patterns in your bloodline, or because of a wrong mentality. Tonight, God wants to put his hand on people. He said the hand of God was upon Elijah. Every form of stagnation, be it marital stagnation, be it stagnation in business, be it stagnation in ministry, something is about to shift. This is something God has given me. I know it. I know it. In all modesty and simplicity, what some of us see in months takes some years. I know it. Please lift your hand. If you can stop praying, stop praying. I want it very calm so you know what is happening here is not emotion. Father, in the name of Jesus, inside, outside, and online, everybody listening now, your word said your hand came upon Elijah at the instance of prayer. And you said he outran the chariots of Ahab. Lord, I give a commandment in the spirit. Everyone under my voice
stagnated, either maritally, career-wise, or even in ministry. In the name of Jesus, Father, I ask, let your hand come upon them now. Let your hand come upon them now. And Lord, as a sign, let that anointing rest on 7 individuals violently. Touch! Touch! Violently! Move them from where they are to where they should be. Touch! Help that sister on rest. Because of time, I'm praying for 4 sets of conditions: heart conditions, eye conditions, bone conditions, and ear conditions. Eye conditions, ear conditions, bone conditions, heart conditions. If you have a fracture or an issue with your bones, you can't walk. This is your time. If you have a challenge with your ear, you can't hear. This is your time. If you have crisis with your eyes, this is your time. And if you have a condition in your heart, this is your time. I'm not operating by any gift. I'm just showing you I know that I'm the child of God. When I pray, God answers. I'm not exercising faith for anybody. I'm not using word of knowledge, workings of miracles. I'm not even conscious of any of those things. I'm just coming like anybody here as a child of God. Father, hear me and answer. I want you to practice these things and see how your life will move. See, it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. I'm telling you. It's a wonderful thing to be born of God. All the other graces come as an accompaniment. The life of God you carry has made you a prince. If you are trusting God for a touch, lift your right hand. Father, thank you. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over heart condition. From palpitations to hole in the heart to all forms of pain. In the name of Jesus, I speak to diseased heart. Hear the word of the Lord. He who the Son of Man sets free is free indeed. I decree, be healed now in the name of Jesus.
I speak to ear conditions.
Partial deafness,
complete deafness. Ears, hear the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, open and be healed.
I speak to eye challenges. Short-sightedness, long-sightedness, cataract, glaucoma,
complete blindness. Whatever the situation is, in the name of Jesus, eyes open.
And I speak to every form of arthritis, fracture, or bone condition that has impeded your mobility. In the name of Jesus, bones receive strength.
I say bones receive strength. Be healed in the name of Jesus.
5 weeks ago, I was in London preaching. And I made a simple declaration like this. You know, people know us as revivalists. So they think it's all about fire, intensity, and atmosphere. No. There are things that the foundation of our manifestations are built on. This is the most basic. And that's why I've kept this service very basic. If you don't know this, you can't work in anything in God. It's like installing a program on a wrong software. It can't work. I declared like this, a lady that has a lumbar condition, the bone was curved. She stands like this with a lot of pain. The power of God hit her, she straightened up. She came with x-ray. And it was captured online. Now hear this. Ears have been healed. Eyes have been healed. Hearts have been healed. Bones have been healed. How many of you believe that? Why do you believe? Is it because an apostle prayed? Or you know that you are a child of God when you ask, he hears? If that's your position, give the Lord a shout!
Now, hear this. How many of you know that somebody has a testimony already? Now, if nobody comes out now, will you be surprised? But if somebody comes out, will it be normal to you? Give the Lord a shout!
This is what you do. This is what you do with yourself, with your children, every day. Teach your children to start doing these things growing up. At the age of 10, let them know that they are children of God when they talk God here. When they have a challenge, declare. Teach them the way of faith. If you have noticed a change with your eye, or with your ear, or with your bone, or you had a heart condition, pain, palpitation, something has happened. Let me see your right hand. Lift your right hand. Lift it high. And see some hands. Lift it up. Lift it up. I'm seeing people on the gallery. Lift your right hand. If you have noticed that change, come to the front here. Very quickly, those of you waving your hand. Those of you waving, come. I'm showing you Christianity that you practice on the street. Those of you waving, come quickly, come quickly, come quickly. Don't be ashamed. You were created to function in the God class. Even after the fall, God sent Jesus to restore you back to that order. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Now hear me. If you are in this meeting and you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, everything I said here tonight, you are not part of it. It is only for those who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So if you are listening to me now, this is your opportunity. You say, I want to be like God. I want to function like God. I want to operate in the God class. Wherever you are, come to the front. Let me lead you to Jesus now. Very quickly. On the gallery, in the down floor, come to the front. And if you are in the overflow, come to the front of the screen. You can form a second line behind in case you are here and you want to say, from today I'm tired of living like an ordinary man. Form a line behind. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is your Son. I believe He died for my sins. I believe on the third day He rose from the dead. I confess with my mouth tonight that this same Jesus from tonight is my Lord, is my Savior. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, for accepting me. In Jesus' name, I have declared. Lord, keep them, preserve them, use them for your glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Where are the counselors? Are they going with you quickly for counseling? Those of you who have been healed, congratulations. How many of you had a heart condition that you were healed of? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You had a challenge with your heart. Mama, what was the challenge?
I was having a sharp pain on my...
Sharp pain in the chest. For years. So, that's the proof that God touched heart conditions. Now, every... Sorry.
What happened was
ulcer pain.
Her chest.
These are normal things. These are normal things. They are not special for us in the church. They are special for those outside because they don't see it. This is how we live our lives. Give the Lord a big hand. Congratulations. God bless you. Go out and do likewise. Can somebody shout, clap those hands for Jesus and celebrate?
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 2676760 55 +233 2676760 55 or send an email to info@godswordforus.com info@godswordforus.com.